No? Just takes a minute to catch up with me. I'm very grateful to be here. In the course of travels, I want to invite everyone here on live stream and greet you as well. Not knowing who all is there, but I think I have 25 slides today. Some are pictures. As I pondered what to talk about today, one scripture, I could not get it off my mind. It kept coming, but it felt so lonely. And I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? This one scripture. Is it on? That one scripture just kept coming back and it wouldn't leave. And I kept thinking and praying about it. And so I want to share that scripture with you and some of the others that have come along the same line. And I want to encourage you today. I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy that we are on the edge of Vacation Church School. If there's one thing that these verses gave me, it's this great importance that VCS plays, that youth camp plays, that Sunday school plays, that you and I in our lives, there's this great importance to us that God has given. Is that up? Can you see it now? Well, let's see if we can advance it. Well, that doesn't want to play, so we'll do it the old-fashioned way, maybe. Well, you may not see more than that today. Is it moving at all? There we go. All right. The scripture I couldn't get off my mind is found in Colossians chapter 3. And you know, like I said, as I was praying about it, this just kept coming back. And there wasn't even anything, there was no picture in my head about anything else. There wasn't a story that went with it when I got, it just kept coming. I just could not get this scripture out of my mind. And here in Colossians chapter 3, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." You saw that I titled this the word, you know, the words of life. The word of Christ, you know, I like how this statement begins, and there's so much before this in Colossians chapter 3 that I'm going to read it right towards the end, because if the other things are missing, this doesn't really make any difference. But he tells us to let the word of Christ, a specific word, is supposed to live inside of you. It's supposed to inhabit you. Your mind, your heart, your soul. And that word richly means copious amounts. You need to have it, you know, the Word of God, the Word of Christ, it needs to be deeply in you, a lot of it. In all wisdom. And then it talks about what that's going to do. It's going to cause you and I to be teaching and admonishing and singing songs and hymns. You know, hymns, when I looked up that word, you know, it's a specific, the praises of God, spiritual songs. We have some of those in our book, spiritual experiences put to words. David wrote the book of Psalms, and he put together a whole family of sons, and he said, "I want you to write music to this, and I want you to sing it in the temple of God." The words of God, sung, spoken, conversed, taught, it's all here the Word of Christ, living in you and I, being a part of our life every day, something that teaches us wisdom and allows us to teach others and admonish them. So what do all these things mean? First, John in chapter 6, you know, he makes a statement about Christ is speaking, and he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How important is life? I hope it's all important. We focus on it. In every part of our being, we think about our life. We think about the lives of everyone that we love. And one of the things that Christ shared with us is that his words, they are spirit and they are life. And if this is true, how important are they to you and I for every part of all that we do in this world and all of our preparation, every piece of what we do and how we live? In 2 Nephi chapter 14, Nephi writes, he says, wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. And he's going back to the chapter before when this was something that was written. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. And, you know, we live in a world that if you look at the prophecies of our day, chapter 24, I think it's Luke chapter 21, the one that I like. I didn't quote it on here, but I hope most of you are familiar with it. There's a verse in there that says, you know, talks about our time, and it says, you know, the world would be perplexed, and there would be great, you know, perplexity in the world. That means people don't know what to do. There's all kinds of trouble, all kinds of struggles, all kinds of things happening, and we don't know how to handle it. We don't know what to do. This was a prophecy about our time, and yet, in the Word of God, we're told that the words of Christ, they could tell us what we need to do, the things that we need to do, how to do them. And so, what happens if those words are missing in your life? Who do you get your information from? I don't know about you, but I've looked at people that throw questions out on Facebook for answers. Have you ever seen some of the crazy answers on Facebook? Where do they come from? Men's wisdom. I've heard people, I listened to somebody the other day, I saw it, somebody that I know, not a member of the church, but someone that I know very well, and they were having problems in their family, and they put out there these statements for advice, and I looked at the advice given, and it just broke my heart. I thought, well, there's some perfect advice to completely fracture a family and destroy it. It's all right there, and it sounds so right because it's based on revenge and respect and all these things that are missing if you don't know how to put that the right way with Christ in those words that tend to heal instead of divide. And so how well do you know it? And how well are you teaching it? So what is wisdom? Here's a definition. The right use or exercise of knowledge. The choice of laudable ends and the best means to accomplish them. So what the wisdom of the Word of God gives us, you know, he says in all wisdom, you know, that we are to have the Word of Christ living in us. And in all wisdom, it says. And that's learning how to use those the Word of God and that knowledge the right way. How does it apply to the situations of life? This is wisdom in act, effect, or practice. If wisdom, now this is from a dictionary, so this long sentence wasn't mine, just so you know. If wisdom is to be considered as a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. And if it is to be considered as an acquirement, it is the knowledge and use of what is best, most just, most proper, most conducive to prosperity or happiness. Wisdom gained by experience is of inestimable, I can't say this word, that's how important it is. I've tried this several times today, and it just keeps getting me. Inestimable value. Did I get it right? Okay. Wisdom gained by experience has this value that you can't put an estimate on. Why? Because it gets you to the right place. You learn something by what your experience was. And so you and I in our lives, and we're going to come, and tomorrow we're going to start, and we got all these little kids, and they don't have wisdom. And we're going to have all these little kids and different levels of teaching, and a lot of you have little children in your family. How do we teach wisdom? Can you teach wisdom without consequence? Our lives are full of consequence. The way we learn, if I say to my kid, don't put your hand on that hot thing, and they have to do it, did they just learn wisdom about their future happiness? They learned, if I do this, that's a bad thing. I don't want to do that anymore. And so, I find that in life, what I found as a parent is, so often my focus was to keep my children in a world without consequence. And this is not what the Word of God teaches us, and it's not wisdom. But it is to help them find consequences. And are there good consequences? Yeah. Good actions? I mean, it doesn't take very long to learn what you get from good actions. You get maybe the praise of your parents, maybe the praise of someone else, maybe you get rewards. Wisdom is taught by consequence, and whether good or bad, it's something that we need to be teaching, and the Word of Christ teaches us these things, and we need to be aware of these things and be passing them on as it lives in us. In 2 Nephi 11, 58 and 59, here Nephi was teaching his people, this is the Old Testament, he says, after the Christ shall have risen from the dead, he shall show himself unto you, my children and my beloved brethren. And the words which he shall speak unto you shall be the law which ye shall do. And again, all the scriptures focus us on the word of Christ. 3 Nephi 7, 1 and 2. Now it came to pass. Now this is when Christ was there. He had just finished teaching the sermon on the same as the Sermon on the Mount in the Bible. And it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, he cast his eyes round about on the multitude and saith unto them, behold, ye have heard the things which I have taught before I ascended to my Father. I've just told you the same stuff that I taught over on the other side of the world. Therefore, whoso remembereth these sayings of mine and doeth them, him will I raise up at the last day. So it's one thing to hear it and to see it, but do you remember? And this to me is so important. There was a time where committing something to memory was so important, and I got it hammered to me at school. I hope they're still doing that. But are there important things that you have to learn? How many of you have a combination lock? How many of you still remember a combination of old? Because I had to throw a couple of locks away. It had just been a couple of weeks. And I would have to, I'd get out there again, I'd say, I'd get a couple of them, and sometimes I could break it after a while because I'd remember. But the words of Christ, they are often forgotten. And if you and I don't have something in place to keep reminding us of them, we're going to lose this important thing. We could lose our salvation. The opportunity to be raised up with him, because remembering these sayings and doing them are what is so important. We're going to read Psalms 119, a few verses there. It's too much to put on here, so we're going to read a beginning in verse 1 through 19, and it's they're short verses. But I love these words. As David talked about the importance of you and I committing God's word to our heart, to our memory, to our understanding. And he said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. the things that I do are based on the things that he says. And I, you know, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. I love this picture, you know. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I believe this is part of what we're trying to do this week when we get our young people from 3-year-olds all the way up. We're trying to leave something that stays in their heart and remember. And I know there's some of those things in your heart and mind. And the more that you can place there, how important it is. It's something that God is looking for in his people. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know, this concept of meditating, and I don't know, you know, part of the problem I think we come into, if you live in a world that is vacant of questions of spiritual importance, you're missing an opportunity to remember. If you're not asking questions and you're not receiving questions, if you're not going back and forth with somebody else in your life spiritually about the importance of God's word, you're missing opportunities to remember. You're missing opportunities to hide something in your heart because it calls you to start thinking about, you know, the other day I had a guy on, he's, here, I want you to take these scriptures down. These are what I think it says. Immediately, I'm thinking in my mind, I don't agree, but I have to look at these, and now I have to figure out a way to explain to him why I look at it differently and what I think the Word of God says or how what I think those words say. And it's in this way that we begin to keep this memory of putting in the living Word of God in our mind, in our heart. Something that keeps us sharp, and we start to meditate, and I find that in today's, you know, in my life as I get older, I can't always grab things immediately. I have to ponder them for a little bit and think about how the whole word comes together in my mind. And so he says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. You know, you and I are pilgrims and strangers in this earth. God has written his word for us. He wrote it to bless us, to keep us in our ways, in his ways. And when we seek him and we strive to learn them and to commit them to memory, to use them for wisdom, to use them for admonishment and exhortation, to use them for song, for praise to God, for helping one another, he keeps them alive within us. In verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, from thy judgments. For thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth thee, for I trust in thy word. And I take not the word of truth, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's made me alive. We are comforted by his word in times of affliction. It's so important that we have committed it more strongly into our minds. Romans chapter 15. There's a few verses, and there's four verses. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, when I look at that verse 4, everything that's written was for our learning. And the things that are in the Scriptures are for especially the worst of times for us. They're also written for the good times. That's when we gather information. Jen was talking about teaching three-year-olds. I can't tell you how much she agonized yesterday over what stories do I tell to make this point? Where are they? You know, what's the best way to explain this to a three-year-old? How do they grab the story? The story from the Old Testament, some of them from the New Testament. Those things that were written before time were written for us, for our learning, so that we could, through patience and comfort in the Scriptures, could have hope. But he goes back to verse 1, and so what does all the learning do if you and I don't do anything with it? If you hear it, you begin to learn it, and you never communicate it. Because he starts off saying, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. How many of you are strong? Raise your hand. Well, at least we have one honest guy. Asher can handle it. Maybe we need to understand what that word is. And what does it mean to be strong? Strong has a couple of meanings, but it means powerful or capable. If I asked you, how many of you are capable of helping somebody? Are you capable? Who are you capable of helping? Are you only capable of helping members of your family or your own children? Are you capable of helping someone in a store, on the street, at your job? And he says, you know, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And then he goes back, you know, he gets to verse 4. He talks about the Scriptures were written for our learning so that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And what does that mean? Is this talks about, it doesn't matter how much you know if you don't do something with what you know. And so, you know, we that are strong, capable, able, could, that is, mighty man, possible, power, strong, you know, you that are strong, you that are capable, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And what is an infirmity? Here's the word, a scruple of conscience. Does that mean much to some of you? I looked at this, I don't use the word scruple much. I have an idea in my mind what it means, but I started thinking, you know, the infirmities of the weak, a scruple of conscience, and I'm like, okay, words are important because they have meaning. So if we don't know what they mean, then it doesn't mean much. That, you know, what is a scruple? Doubt. hesitation from the difficulty of determining what is right or expedient. What was wisdom supposed to give us? The ability to determine the right course, right? This is what the comfort of the Scriptures is. This is what having the Word of Christ dwelling in us gives us wisdom, capability. We're capable when we have the wisdom of God in us to help someone who is infirm. They're struggling with doubt. They're struggling. They're hesitant. And they're having a difficulty determining what's right. What's the best course? Backwardness, reluctance to decide or act. Do you know anybody like that? In the middle of a struggle, I don't know what's best to do. Do you have anything to add? Because you have hidden the Word of God in your heart. And it's wisdom. Have you learned anything from your experiences that you can share? You know, I walked into work one day before I retired, obviously. There was a friend of mine. He's a Christian man. He's not a member of our church, but he was a Christian man. And he began to tell me what was going on in his life. And I'm listening to this story. And I listened to this, the destruction of a family. And I'm listening to him, and I'm listening to what he's saying and the problems and how he's describing the problems and what he did and how what he did has affected his family. And now he's in this horrible place, and he doesn't know what to do. And am I capable? Does he have to be a member of our church? I looked at this friend of mine and I said, "Brother, you got to get your feet back on the rock, back on God's word. You're missing some points and it's destroying your family, and let me explain it to you." And I did what's called exhorting. It's telling him of a fault or admonishing. If you admonish somebody, this is what we do with the Word. It's to put them in mind. Put them in mind of what? The Word. The way, the wisdom that's found in the Word of God. By implication, to caution or reprove gently. To reprove is to convince of a fault or to make it manifest. Here's what you did wrong, and here's why you're seeing those consequences played out in your family. And I did it because I loved him. And it made a difference. It made a difference in his life. Do you have the ability to help someone who's weak? Are you capable? Because you put something, not the wisdom of the world, but the Word of God, the living Word, is it living inside of you? It's wisdom. All those stories aren't there just for a good story. And they aren't there because I like to hear about David and Goliath. There's a point to it, and there's a reason it's there. And when you're searching through it, as you're talking to your kids and their troubles and their friends, and you're talking to your loved ones and brothers and sisters in the church, you have those things to grab. And you begin, you start pondering, and you start thinking about those things. What's the reason for the story? Why is it there? It's there for our learning. And we begin to learn, and we begin to share that knowledge with others. Those that are weak are unable. You know, when we're weak, we don't feel like, you know, I was in Alaska because a brother called. He says, "I need help. I'm weak." Struggling with the feeling of it's impossible. I can't. I'm struggling to serve God. It's impossible where I'm at. I'm in a bad place. Something I can't do right this second. Those of us that are strong, those that are able, we need to talk. We need to deal with the infirmities of the weak. Again, what is that? Those that are in doubt. Hesitation. We need to share with them the wisdom of the Word of God in the Scriptures. You know, one of the things I've found that the Word of God does is it gives history. Does history repeat itself? Yeah. You know, if you take the same action that had a bad consequence, and you do it over and over and over and over again, will there ever be a good consequence? Does it ever change? Consequence remains the same, and it's the same also with good things. You know, good choices that we make have good consequences, and we can do them over and over and over again, and good things come from it. And so one of the things that we see in Scripture is the nature of man and how things worked and what didn't work and why it didn't work. One of the stories that Jen's going to tell the little kids, you know, she's got two stories. One was what happened when they did the right thing, and the other was what happened when they didn't do the right thing. And it's powerful, and it's all from one story. Both sides of the spectrum are seen. The wisdom of God is seen in that story, and it's something that we share. And so what do to those that are weak? We pick them up. This is how we bear. This is how we bear. What is that, you know, when we went back to that scripture, you that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It means to pick them up. You and I are called as knowing and understanding the living word of Christ and having it living within us. We are called to pick up those that are weak. And are you doing this? You know, there's not a committee in our congregation or any congregation of our church that's the admonishing committee. You didn't get voted in. It's not a special task. There's not a welcoming committee here. That's your special job to go find somebody new that showed up and welcome them. These are things that God calls us all to do as children of Christ, as people that love others in the world, brothers and sisters, and those that are beyond that. This is something that we are called to do because of the Word of God that He placed and He put in our heart. Deuteronomy 6, timeless wisdom, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So the whole purpose to place them there. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The word of God is to be around you, in you, talked about daily with your children, with your friends. And if you aren't availing this to yourself, if you think that coming to church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night and sitting here is all you have to do, you're missing so much. You're not understanding your job. You're not even understanding why you're here. In fact, you're isolated right here in the middle of a local because you're not a part. You're coming, you're expecting somebody else to do the work that God has given you to do. This commandment was to each individual. Love the Lord with your heart. If you love somebody and you want to know what they're about, love it with your heart. Find those words. Let them be in your heart because you love your God, because you see what He's done for you. Teach them. Talk about them daily. Have those signs in your house to remind you of the Word of God and encourage you. These things are important for us. Alma 17:68 is Alma was talking to his son Helam, and he says, "Remember, my son, learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God and cry unto God for all thy support." You know, here's this father that took the time. He took the time, he wrote letters to his sons, the wisdom of God, correction to them, encouragement to them. When he saw they were weak, he was lifting them up in those words, putting the words of God in the hearts of his children. Are you doing this? Do they have to be just your children? You know, I hope that you take our task this week seriously. I am so excited for the opportunity to share things in God's Word, things that evidence that gives encouragement, things that strengthen their faith, things that they can see and be encouraged by, correction, all these things that we get from the Word of God. These are important things. You know, I took a trip to Alaska and I got to see two members. Some of you have met Ruth Friend. Some of you haven't. You know, I was pondering this concept of being isolated. How hard it is to be isolated. And I was thinking about Ruth. You know, sometimes I believe we're as isolated as we choose to be. We can be isolated sitting right here in the middle of a congregation. We can feel alone and forgotten. We can feel like it's somebody else's responsibility to take care of us. And I was thinking about Ruth. Ruth is a person that when you meet her, you know, we went to Alaska, and one of the things, she has a son that's in the middle of a struggle. She loves her son. Ruth wrote a book. She wrote a book trying to explain the Word of God. And I've read that book. I think Brian's probably seen it. I mean, she got into the book of Revelation. She got into deep subjects. And while I didn't think that all of what she wrote was you know, perfectly true or accurate, I saw a person, and I started asking her, Zach and I asked her, so how did you come to be part of the Church of Christ? And she said, you know, well, a couple Mormon missionaries showed it up her house. And she said, oh, I would like to read that book. And she started reading. She started putting the Word of God in her heart, and she tested it, found it to be true. And she gets in her Bible, and she reads, and she reads, and she reads. And when you sit and you talk to her, she's not isolated. She can't hardly read anymore. She can't hardly see. She loves the Word of God. She had continued questions. Oh, I want to ask you about this. You know, we get done. I don't know. We had three or four lengthy studies because Ruth was hungry for more. Let's talk about this. I have some ideas about it, but I want to hear what you have to say. What's happening in our world today? What, the scriptures say this. Are we seeing that? Are you guys seeing that? And while she's missing some of the fellowship, which is so important, her soul, the Word of God is alive inside this woman. She hungers for that Word. She loves that Word. Her day is blessed and anointed by it going over and over. She shares it with her son, was hoping that we would be able to share some of it. When you go to Alaska and the salmon are running, guess what you're going to do? You're going to fish, because that's what Alaskans do when the salmon are running, especially the red salmon. And she kept telling us, I'm not coming, but I want you to go and fish with my son. I want you to talk to my son. Well, he wasn't as open as she had hoped. And the fishing wasn't very good. Maybe that's why he wasn't that open. But it is important for us. And I want you to rethink this concept of being isolated. I think of this woman. You know, in November of 2015, this is a member of ours that began in Kenya. Asked her daughter to write a letter to the Church of Christ. And Church of Christ came to Kenya partly because of the desire of this woman. She came and she got to visit our congregation at a reunion. And remember, you know, what we read about, you know, that we admonish each other and we exhort each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you remember what she did at that reunion? What did she do? That's not all she did. That's right. She taught us a song, didn't she? She taught us the song. This is what she did. She could have come here and been just the partaker in the pew that didn't have to say anything. She just could have came and took it in and kept it for herself. But that's not what God calls us to do. There's a scripture. It's talking to the ministry, but it's a concept that I want you to think about. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And And Paul says this to Timothy. He says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Be instant. This concept of being instant is be present. Are you ever distracted from what's really in front of you? The situation in front of you? You know, one of the things that is so important for you and I, if we're going to serve Christ, is to have this ability to be instant when it's convenient, in season, and when it's not convenient, when it's out of season. And I find that most of the time, when I get the phone call that's going to be 2 or 3 hours, it's not convenient. It's not the convenient time. When somebody is in the middle of a struggle, when somebody is weak and they need a lift, and they need encouragement from the Word of God, they need reproof, they need exhortation with long suffering and doctrine. What is that? The Word of God. And this is what they need. You know, you and I cannot live for Christ in a comfort zone. We can't have walls around us and say, and this is kind of funny, I saw something on Facebook the other day. I saw a headline the other day, and it was a note, I think it was on Facebook or something, it was a note from an introvert of things that everyone else needs to understand if you want to talk to one of them, things that bothered them about the way people write things. And I'm the kind of guy growing up, any of you that know me, if you had a weakness that something bothered you, I would probably make sure somewhere in our conversation or whatever that I bothered you. It was just in my nature. I've had to try to change, and I try not to do that like I used to, although I still like to enjoy that. But you and I can't draw the lines. I do. I enjoy it in a nice way. I try to do it in a nice way. I like to enjoy challenging other people to get out of your comfort zone. You can't serve God in a comfort zone. I had someone come to me once, say, well, they were from another state, another congregation. I want to come talk to you about baptism. Okay. Well, why are you talking to me? Did you talk to your pastor? Well, you know, I don't really like to talk to people. And I know you. So I'm comfortable talking to you. Okay, well, good. Well, let me take a few minutes in and let me talk to you. Here's what being baptized means. You can't stay in your little bubble anymore. You're part of a body. You're part of a body that has needs. You're part of that. You have to talk. You got to go talk to your pastor. You got to go tell him what's going on. Because you, if you want to serve Christ, you got to learn to get out of your comfort zone. I watched that young man later come and say, you know, I appreciate you telling me that so much. Hey, is there something I could do at youth camp? And he came and he gave his talents to youth camp, the quiet guy. He still didn't say a lot, but the guy was working behind the scenes, making it a better place for our youth. Are you afraid? You know, Nina Osaka doesn't have to live next to a local to serve. She serves because she loves God and she loves people. I wanted to put a video clip on here. It's just too long. A video clip of her meeting Helen and my wife this last March. A moment that was just jam-packed with this love that she had for them because of the love of God that's in her. As she shared, she shares the word. You go to her house and she is being, you're sharing with her, and the same time you leave there, go, wow, this was awesome. I got more out of that visit than she did, because the whole time she's sharing the word of God and how it affects her life because it lives inside. This is so important to us. Well, as I went up there to encourage John, and we were talking and we had this course of conversation over several days. And then John had to go back to work. Zach and I stayed on Kodiak Island and took a couple more days to visit with Ruth because John had to work. And then we went back to meet him. And I got back there, and we had gone to dinner and we were talking, and John talked about what got from this, from our conversations. He said, you know, he says, I didn't realize, he said, this is my thinking, and I'd never heard it put this way, and so I added it, but I want to put it this way to you, because I thought it was well put. He said, I'm convinced that God has a plan for my life. How many of you are convinced that God has a plan for your life? And he said, and I started thinking that if God has a plan for my life, why don't I have a plan for him in my life? Where's my plan? Where's my plan to feed my soul? It's not the job of your ministry to spiritually strengthen you. That's God's job. It's our job to edify you, to encourage you, to lift you up. But you have the task of strengthening yourself in God. Do you have to stand up and admonish people here? No, it could be that person that comes to your house. You can be a quiet person, but see something that somebody needs. And how do we do this? Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan of how to be an active member of this local when you feel isolated? It's your job to make a plan, to get involved. It's your job. It's the job of others, too, to try to involve you. But we have a responsibility to the care of our own soul. It's not somebody else's. As God has these plans and he wants to nourish you, make a plan to come back to God. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What is this saying? Well, you can isolate yourself from the word of God. You can just be happy with just the simple things, like milk. Babies are happy with milk for a time. But hopefully when you begin to, and I don't know how some of the baby food gets them to want something else. Believe me, I've tried it. Not on purpose. In a skit at camp, right? It's nothing to write home about, but for some reason our nature calls us to something else. That day when we can have that steak or whatever it is that you like. We cannot stay in the milk. We have to grow, and we grow by exercising, by learning, by testing, by thinking about the things that are written. This is how we grow. This is how we become strong. And don't isolate yourself from the Word of God. I believe it's time for you and I to give more. In Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And he promised us that we won't fail. He promised us that we won't fail if we'll hold fast. He'll strengthen us to hold fast to that profession. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to have an impact on somebody else. The things that we say are to provoke you. That's not a word that we use in a positive, but this is a positive statement. We're called to consider one another, provoke one another to love and to good works. Give that encouragement, give that strength by your knowledge of the Word of God and its strengthening and its in the commandments which strengthen us and keep us. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Well, you know, I thought about the day. What day is he talking about? Probably the coming of the Lord. Are there other days that you're concerned about in the life of someone that you know? How about the day when you're going to send your kids off to college? Are any of you concerned about that? What they're going to learn? Are they prepared? Have you got them in the Word of God where they're prepared to see truth and right and wrong? We do this by assembling. And this is the one part about isolation, that part of the plan, if you're isolated, is to find a way to get to a congregation. Whether it's a reunion, whether it's a monthly commitment to go somewhere, to gather with others. You've got to find the time, whether it's phone church, you've got to find time to assemble and bounce things off of each other, encourage each other for Christ and for good. And you and I are called to exhort each other. Yes, we that are strong, we that are able, we have to be concerned with the infirmities of the weak. We have to give wisdom, good wisdom, sound, godly wisdom. And we need to be doing this more for each other as we see whatever day is approaching. These important days in our lives, these challenges that lie ahead in the lives of brothers and sisters of young people. This is what we are called to do in this time. The forerunner to the verses that I began with. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, keeping the commandments is one of those important things. If you're not doing this, all the rest of it doesn't matter. If you're not forgiving, I think about the Word of God so often. I listen to people and they struggle. This was part of that friend of mine that was having problems in the family. You know what the big problem was? Nobody could forgive. Can't forgive a resentment or a bad statement that was made that probably shouldn't have been made. But it locked up someone that should have known what the commandment of Christ is. The bitterness and these kind of things have to be put away from God's people, or you can't thrive and you can't survive. And these are the things, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, the things that you and I are called to. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know, I don't know about you, but some of us, and I have probably, I fight myself over struggles. Fight myself over sometimes youth that are in the middle of struggles or doing things that just drive me crazy. And I'm thinking in my mind, yeah, well, I knew the consequences were going to come. Yeah, I could have told them that. And the other part of my mind says, well, why didn't you? Why didn't you love them enough to tell them about the error of their way in love? You know, you usually can't go to someone that's in the middle of a weakness and say, you know, what you're doing really offends me. I get irritated and angry at it and think that you have a voice. If you don't go in this attitude that's being shared here by Paul in the book of Colossians, you know, humble, meek, long-suffering, because you love. Charity, the bond of perfectness, the thing that makes you stand. There's another scripture that Peter says, charity covers a multitude of sins. It allows you not to see it and be irritated by it because you love them. It calls you to something higher, a way of looking at them and their weakness in a higher level, to call them up, to lift them up in their time of weakness. We have to get through these things. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be thankful. You know, we are called to have a different attitude, a different feeling for one another. And you can't serve the Lord if you're not taking your place and being a part. Timothy says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Well, what do you want your words to do? He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to divide the word of truth rightly, but if you're going to use words and you're going to talk to someone, Don't you want your words to have an effect, a positive effect? And so are you thinking about how to explain it? I can tell you how many times, I can't tell you how many times I've been to a place, whether it's with my own kids or somebody's house, maybe it's a question about the gospel and I give an explanation and they're looking at me and they don't get it or they don't agree because I didn't explain it right. And it's frustrating. I know there was a time when somebody kept trying to tell me to say, this is what the truth is. I didn't agree. They never changed. Later, the Lord showed me that what they'd said was true, but they didn't convince me. They didn't subvert me. I couldn't get there because they didn't change up their explanation. Find another way. If you don't get through the first time, don't give up. Find another way to give that encouragement, to give that lift. Give them a different look, a different way, point of view, or a different way of seeing it. Find the Word of God and learn how to rightly share it, to be a help. And don't be satisfied with empty words that don't profit anybody. And so he goes, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. My hope, my prayer for you, that you take the things that God has written, knowing that they are history and they are life. They can help. You and I are capable of doing so much more than we've been doing. It's not all on the ministry. While the ministry have a responsibility, we all do. This is the time and the day in which you and I need to quit being isolated. And if you're hearing me on live stream and you live alone, get yourself somewhere every once in a while. Make a plan for your life to not be isolated, outside of fellowship, outside of the ability to sing to the Lord, outside of His Word. Keep these things in your heart. Let them dwell with you and in you. Anyway, these are my thoughts today. I hope they have been a benefit to you as they were, as I considered them. I could see things that I still need to do. So I thank you for your time.